from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey. Hey, 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 hey. Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Let's go Buffalo.
The Bills make me wanna
shout.
The Bills make me wanna.
Me and Nate just discussing our does everyone get their handicap notifications at the same time?
I think so. I think it goes out at 8 a.m.
They all go out at 8 a.m. On Tuesdays?
I think they go out just about every day, but
it's kind of like waiver Tuesday. Or waivers,
yeah,
on
right.
Fantasy. Like, they all go out at the same time. Your handicaps. Sal Capaccio, now on the Wester Hotline. Good morning, Sal. Do we have Sal?
Yep, you guys got me. Hey, guys, sorry about that.
Do you get your hand? Do you have a handicap? Do you get it at the same time every Tuesday as well? 8 o'clock?
I used to have a handicap. I did not renew for the first time in years. My handicap was, I think, a 14. So, you know, not
right.
Great, but not horrible.
It's better than me.
But what's funny is I would have good scores sometimes. Like, why is my handicap not moving? You know, I mean, there's a lot that goes into it, I guess.
You know,
the slope and the rating. And I'm like, come on, that course was harder than what they're telling me.
I still don't even fully understand how all that works. I just know I get a notification every Tuesday at 8 o'clock, and I'm usually, what do you mean it's that? It's 8. What do you mean I'm at 18 now? And then I remember I forgot to put my good round in last week. But I'll do that. And anyways, training camp tomorrow. We got an exercise to get to. We'll do it pretty quickly here in a minute. But you're packed and ready? You're going. How many days are you going for when you first get there?
I'm leaving today. I'm going to stay tonight, and I'm not coming back till Friday. So
okay.
Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, it's 3 nights.
All right.
And then Friday I'll be back. We'll have Saturday. They'll be off. I got some baseball Saturday, and then back up on Sunday for a few days as well.
All right, sounds good. So, Jody Biasi.
So I'll probably be home here in Buffalo one night over the next 8-9 nights.
Wow, it's a fun time though. Every week, it's the start of football.
You got like a nice mattress pad, Sally? Yeah. Did you invest in like some good, you know, additional padding for sleeping?
So I bring my own, you know, blankets and stuff,
okay,
and comforter or whatever.
Yep.
I'm pretty simple on that. But what I do is they give us a dorm, as you know, it's a freshman dorm. And there's two, I say it because they say the freshman's there. I think it's a freshman dorm. There's two beds, right? It's one room, but two single beds.
Mm-hmm.
I push them together and make a big bed. So that way, if I have to just sprawl out, you know, I got some room there.
I took your advice on that. I did the same thing last year. It's not bad at all. Right. Bring your own blankets, you bring your own sheets, and you're perfectly fine. Perfectly comfortable. So I'll be doing the same thing.
Dorm room
push, living. Gonna push the beds together. Anyways. All right. So. Been wanting to do this exercise. Let's do it. See how it goes. We got Nate in for it. We've got Sal in for it. Of course, Extra Point Show a little bit later on today. So we're trying to figure out this Bills offense all off season. This is very specific. This is for who's going to be on the field their first snap of the season. Again, when they play the Cardinals, their first offensive snap, who is going to be on the field? Me, Nate, and Sal are going to draft these guys. I counted 25 names we could pick from here between wide receivers, tight ends, running backs, and fullbacks, by the way, if you wanted to go that route. And I think if we pick like five or six each, see how we go here over the next, you know, 10, 15 minutes, then whoever has the most week one wins. Sound good?
Who's picking simple? First?
I only count 24, so there's a guy I'm missing that's going to come up. That's okay. We don't have to go through them all, but I count 24.
Okay.
I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 running backs and a fullback. That's 6.
Yeah.
And then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 tight ends.
Yep, I have that's 5 11. Tight ends.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 wide receivers.
Okay. Am I counting? Who? I must be counting a receiver. It's not on the roster anymore. But maybe I'm looking at an outdated depth chart. I doubt we get to that person anyway, but maybe we'll cross that path when we get there. All right, let's fire it up. So I did random.org. It goes Nate, then Sal, then me.
Wow, I get first pick.
All right, so Nate gets the first pick. Sal, you're going to bat second, and then I'm going to do third. It's a snake draft at the turn, so that's how we'll go about it here. So first snap draft. Who's going to be on the field the first snap of the season? Nate, who's the first pick?
Dalton Kincaid. Feels like low-lying fruit, but
I think he would have been...
Sal was taken.
I think he would have not been my first pick, but I have no problem here at all. Yep.
He would not have been my first, but he would have been one of the top three. Absolutely. Take James Cook.
That would have been my top
pick.
I would have picked James Cook first, yeah. He is 1,000% going to be on the field, James Cook. All right, third pick, I'm going to go Curtis Samuel.
Okay.
They paid him the money. He plays a bunch of different roles. The odds he's in one of them, to me, is very, very high. So I'm going to take Curtis Samuel to be on the field for the first snap of the season. So Nate went with Dalton Kincaid, Sal with, of course, James Cook, and then I went with Curtis Samuel. So I'm up again, and I'm going to take Khalil Shakir. I'm already, like, not sure, a little bit. Like, probably... We're still in the probably range for me. I think I'd be surprised if he wasn't. But I guess my worry is, what if they do 12 personnel and Shakir's not on the outside? It's Coleman. But I think Shakir's going to be on the field for the first snap of the year, so I'll take Shakir. So Sal's up again.
Yeah, that's a tough one for me. This one came down. There's three guys I'm debating for any of these three picks. So you took one of them. I'll flip a coin and go on the other one. I'm actually going to go Keon Coleman with the next pick. I think, you know, he's outside guy. Feels like there's going to be two guys on the outside, so I'm going to take him.
All right. So I got two. You've got two picks here. Coleman and Shakir just went back to back. So the top three receivers on paper are off the board. And of course, Sal took the running back, and you've got your tight end. You want to go 12 personnel here.
I could go 12 personnel.
You'd be betting on 12 personnel.
I'm going to start by taking Mac Hollins.
Wow. Reach.
Just reach. Kidding.
No, I'm only saying that to say it. Allen has mentioned Hollins by name, I feel like, every time I've heard him talk about the receivers. That doesn't mean he'll be on the field. He could be special teams guy. Sal's talked about his size maybe being useful on kick returns, or kickoff coverage, I should say. So, all right. That's about where we're at anyway, is Mac Hollins' territory.
So I'm swapping 12 personnel for 21 personnel, and I'm going Reggie Gilliam. Fullback.
Wow.
What do you think of that, Sal?
Okay.
Gilliam? I mean, he's on the team. He's locked in on the team.
I thought about it. I just figure first snap of the game, I can't see it. I've already studied the Arizona Cardinals defensive blueprint. I don't think they're going to go with 12 personnel.
Sal spent the first 40 minutes of his morning
watching
scouting
Jonathan Gannon
the first
film.
Three.
Yes.
But I think you gave me a layup here for what has to be next, whether it's real or not, or happens. It's got to be Dawson Knox the next pick. I mean, they're going to lean into this 12 personnel this year. So thanks, Nate. I respect the Gilliam pick from an outside-the-box thought. I thought about it myself, but Dawson Knox has to go here as a team that I think could very well have two tight ends on the field to start the season.
Yeah, I like Knox there a lot. I definitely would have took him over Gilliam. He's got a contract, right? Like, that's not the only reason. He's a good player too, but they're gonna want to use him. They've talked about 12 personnel. Like, I like that pick a lot. All right, now I'm in a precarious situation because I feel like I could go anywhere.
You could do a lot of stuff.
I'm at a point now where I've got guys that I'm not even 100% sure will be on the team. I'm gonna go Ray Davis. I'm going to pick Ray Davis. This might need to be a two-backfield formation, though. Like, what are the odds he's on the field first and James Cook isn't? I guess it's possible if they're going to throw it and they want Davis to block or something. This might need to be two running backs on the field. I'll go Ray Davis, first snap of the game. You know what I need? I need an interception before the Bills have taken an offensive snap that goes all the way down to the one-yard line, and then they are going to punch it in with Ray Davis. That's what I need. And then for my next pick, I'll take Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
Good pick.
Maybe X receiver. Maybe I need Coleman to have a little bit of a sloppy camp or look like he's not ready for this to happen. But MVS playing the X and just kind of being the veteran that they signed, I'll go with Valdes-Scantling. Sal's up next.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go with the guy that, you know, has been the talk of the spring, and if he really shows out in training camp, he's going to force himself somewhere or another on the field, and I'm going to go Chase Claypool with my next pick.
This is going to be a funny question. Maybe this is how you got to 25, Joe. Can I use a sixth offensive lineman here?
I did not do that to get to 25. I guess, what do you think, Sal? Like, I guess if they're not lined up at offensive line, I feel like this is kind of cheating, but...
No, I think you have to choose a listed skill position, back, wide receiver, or tight end.
Okay. Yeah, I think so, too.
But it's not the formation that matters, it's the position.
I just want to point out, it's a fair question. Because they could absolutely walk out there, play one,
with
Lael Collins or, you know, David Edwards if he's not the starter as the extra offensive lineman.
Very quick side note here. This will be maybe something we figure out at camp, right, Sal? We don't have a good idea of who that guy might be now. Because it was David Edwards.
That's right. I agree.
All right, guys. Well, yeah, we're scraping the bottom here. I'm going to go with...
We have two picks.
I'm going to go with Quentin Morris.
Okay.
He plays. You know, I mean, he's going to make the team. He's a quality, like, key special teams contributor and... They've had three tight ends out there. Maybe they'll start with three tight ends and a fullback. Maybe I'm going to win this by having the fullback and the third tight end.
Goal line.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm going to tell you, I don't think it's a lot Quentin Morris makes this team. He's going to have a fight with Zach Davidson. Zach Davidson's back and healthy. Okay. And Zach Davidson, I thought, looked pretty good in the spring.
All right. Worth keeping an eye on there.
I got one more, right?
You've got one more.
Yep.
And then we'll go one more round after that. So we'll get to six.
I'm going to go to Ty Johnson here.
Okay.
Sounds like I stole it from Sale.
You did. I'm thinking, let's hope it's not the case, but what if there is some sort of injury,
sure.
right?
Right. And also...
Then you get that guy.
There were a couple plays last year where Johnson was on the field with Cook. In fact, his big touchdown against the Jets...
Yeah, he was the second running back.
I think they had two backs in the backfield, if I remember correctly. But right, like Sal mentioned... If there's an injury to a running back, Johnson could be the guy that's in there. Sal, you're up.
Well, the guy that offers something that really they need, and maybe on the very first play of the game, they say, KJ Hamler, go deep. I'm going to take KJ Hamler.
Love it.
Because it could be one of those situations where this guy can fly. We're going to put him out there first play of the game and just kind of just have Josh launch it.
Yeah. Did you pick him also because you think of the receivers? He's next most likely to make the team? Or you think next?
Yes.
Okay. Got it.
Yes.
All right. I'm up for two. I am going to take Justin Shorter.
Ooh. Okay.
I guess if he just balls out in camp, that would be great. And then for my next pick, I'm going to take Michael Thomas.
Guy's
he's
not
available.
Even on the team.
Okay. If the Bills sign him,
okay.
Then
wait, is that why you have 25?
No, that's not why I have 25. Is this eligible? Are you going to tell me I can't take him?
I mean, no. This is a draft. I guess you can. He's a free agent,
and it's your segment. So, technically, you can do whatever you'd like.
Michael Thomas. He's available. The Bills bring him in. He's on the field. Snap number one. I'm taking Michael Thomas after I take Justin Shorter.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
Thank you to Mike Schultz for the idea on that one, by the way.
You know what? I'll go a little bit off the board here and go with the aforementioned Zach Davidson. If there's a 12 personnel and they decide they want a blocking tight end, he makes the team. I think it would be, it's a long shot, but we're at the long shot point right now. So I'm going to go tight end Zach Davidson.
Okay.
I don't have many options left, and I think the only other guy that's like fringe who could find himself a roster spot is Andy Isabella.
Yep.
Okay. And I think, is that six each? One, two, three, four, five, six. Okay. I think we're
yes.
Good. I like my team. I like my chances of having the overall most players.
So Nate has this. Whoever has the most players on the field for snap number one of the year. Nate Kincaid, Mac Collins, Reggie Gilliam, Quentin Morris, Ty Johnson, and Andy Isabella. Sal, James Cook, Keon Coleman, Dawson Knox, Chase Claypool.
Ooh, that's a good team,
KJ
Sal.
Hamler, and Zach Davidson. I feel like we're going to have a tough time
it's
beating
good,
Sal
it's
here.
It's a good team, Sal.
And then for me, Curtis Samuel, Khalil Shakir, Ray Davis, MVS, Justin Shorter, and of course, Michael Thomas.
In fairness.
Now I'm mad I didn't take Brandon Ayuk.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
See, I'm just mad that I learned about this segment like 20 minutes ago, and Sal's been preparing by grinding film for this segment. So I feel like I'm a little bit at a disadvantage here. That's why Sal's
I
want to
know
so
what, Joe, how many more receivers do you have listed on your roster?
All right. So the other receivers that I had listed, I had Tyrell Shavers.
Yep.
Yep.
Brian Thompson.
Yep.
Lawrence Keys.
Yep.
And Xavier Johnson.
Yeah. So you should have 24 total.
Maybe I just counted.
Trey McKitty, tight end as well.
He is a tight end. Trey McKitty's a tight end.
And then the other running backs were Frank Gore Jr. and Darrington Evans, right?
That's correct.
Okay, yep. So maybe I must have just miscounted then.
You got it.
All right.
That's right, though.
Yeah, real quick at the end here, just I don't know if, Sal, you have any thought on this guy at all, and then we'll let you get out of here because I know you've got something at 8:20. I did think about taking Xavier Johnson also. I don't think he'd be on offense, but he was a receiver, a running back, a returner, kickoff coverage. Like, he did everything at Ohio State.
That's right.
And we've talked about the kickoff so much. We just have no idea like what they're going to want to do. But that guy did all of the kickoff stuff in college, and he's built like a running back because he played running back and receiver. So I almost picked him at the end, but I don't think they would – They would never have him on offense. I don't think.
No, I get it. Out of the, let me ask you guys real quick.
Sure.
Here are the names we did not take: Darrington Evans, Frank Gore Jr., Tyrell Shavers, Brian Thompson, Xavier Johnson, Lawrence Keys, Trey McKitty. Out of that group, who would be most likely to actually make the team?
I might say, Shavers was good at camp last year, and receiver feels so wide open. It would be between Shavers and Johnson. I think Johnson because of his return abilities, and then Shavers just because I guess he could just steal the last receiver spot.
Evans would have to beat out Ty Johnson. I don't see that happening, but it's not crazy if he's the return man because he can return.
They could keep four running backs, couldn't they?
They could. I'd be surprised. I'd be very
Me
surprised.
Too.
Okay.
I think most likely out of that group has to come more from the running back for that reason. And I wouldn't even discount Frank Gore Jr. Like, I think that if there's a spot, maybe one of those guys could beat out Ty Johnson because Ray Davis and James Cook are both on the team, right? And then maybe Ty Johnson gets beat out by someone. I think out of the receivers, it would be Tyrell Shavers, though. Yeah, guys. I think he actually, I thought he looked pretty good. Brian Thompson actually had a good spring, but that's a guy that flashed a few times for me.
All right. Thanks, Al. We'll listen in for the Extra Point Show a little bit later.
All right, hey, Howard Simon coming up today. It's Yankees Mets again this week, and I already owe him dinner from the first time, or lunch. I owe him lunch.
Double or nothing.
The first time, because the Mets beat. So I think this time, maybe I'll tell him, okay, let's do dinner, too.
No, Sal, you
steak dinner.
Sal, you have to do breakfast because he's not awake for dinner time. He's usually asleep.
That's right. That's a good point. Thanks,
all right,
guys.
Thanks, Sal. Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. So who will be on the field first snap? Okay, so you've got them like playing What do you got them playing? Like three tight end fullbacks?
23 personnel.
So, real quick, on one guy you picked. You picked Mac Hollins with your second pick.
Yeah.
I was going to take him. You tell me, is this worth mentioning? Because I don't want to be ever someone that takes these players' or coaches' words to mean anything. Right? Because they go up to the press conferences. When they're on podcasts and more of like an open forum, these YouTube golf casts, by the way, are becoming like a very popular thing. Where just, hey, let's put a camera on a bunch of famous guys golfing for 4 hours. Those things get like real stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Any of these press conference setting stuff, I just never want to take any of it that seriously. But should I take it all seriously that I'm not kidding you? I feel like every time Josh Allen gets asked about the receiver room, he is mentioning Mac Hollins almost every time it's first.
Was he not their first signing?
It depends how far you want to go back, because Hamler was one of those like,
I would say
winter
first,
protected list signing
first
guys.
First UFA signing. I think he might have been.
I think he was.
Not exclusive rights or like those, yeah, like the straight UFA, he might have been their first signing.
I think you have that right. Did Samuel come first? No, I think you have it. I think Hollins was their first signing. He was certainly before Claypool, and he was certainly before Valdez-Scantling. And those are probably the three guys that are going to be competing for, let's face it, like if who's the Keon Coleman insurance right now? If Coleman, I mentioned being, again, here I am, you know, telling you I don't want to take anything these guys say with a grain of salt or with anything of importance, but being at minicamp, talked about Coleman like he's still figuring stuff out and wasn't asked to do everything at Florida State. So we'll see. But
he was
Coleman,
indeed, by the way, he was indeed their first UFA signed.
Okay.
Well, actually, no. Technically, their first UFA signed was Mitch Trubisky. Actually, he was cut.
Yeah.
So he was signed before free agency technically opened.
Okay.
So in terms of on the free agent market, when he was a free agent, yes, Mac Collins
okay.
was the first one.
But like, if Coleman isn't ready, or they don't like the camp he has, or, you know, they just want to start with a veteran. They want a rookie to kind of slow play it. Then is Hollins any less likely to be on the field than Valdez-Scantling or Claypool? Like, I feel like I want to bet against both Valdez-Scantling and Claypool.
Hmm.
Claypool, I mean, the guy, I don't know how much upside there really is with him.
Neither do I.
Like you're a Notre Dame guy. So you've been watching him for a lot longer than I have.
It hasn't looked good in 2 years. You talked about MVS, the feedback on MVS towards last year was him losing a step. It looked
yes.
like Claypool had lost a step, and he's much younger.
Yeah, I mean, he like, I don't know how much of that, though, is he just stops running routes versus...
Especially in Chicago. It didn't go well in Chicago. And then he was signed late in the season by Miami, and he was out there. But, I mean, maybe it was just because he was around such a fast offense that he looked like he was slow, but...
I think I want to expand it beyond the 2 years. I don't know how good Claypool really was in those first 2 years.
Basically a first-round pick. He went for the 33rd overall pick.
Yeah, and I think that trade's...
One of the worst ever.
It was the first pick of round two that they traded for Claypool. He lasted less than a year, and he was off the team.
Yeah.
A lot of what I've read and what I remember seeing about Claypool in those first 2 years was, okay, there's some yards here, there's some big plays here, there are touchdowns, at least there was touchdowns in the rookie year, but this is not an efficient player. This is not a guy that's winning routes. This is a guy that, you know, Roethlisberger was just chucking up these ducks and he would catch a few of them, but then he would drop some that he didn't. Go search our buddy Andrew Filippone's Twitter. And Andrew, and then next to his handle, type in his handle on Twitter and then write Claypool. And look through the frustration of a Steeler fan watching him on the field at play after play after play. So sure, he was putting up numbers, but it didn't seem like anybody really liked him that much while he was doing it. So what am I really chasing here? No pun intended. I don't see the real upside. And then Valdez-Scantling, like you mentioned, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, we've had a couple of Kansas City guests on that have kind of had the same sentiment of why it stopped working for MVS. Why did he only have 300 yards on a team that was starving for wide receiver play. And the message that we've heard a couple of times from Kansas City people is, well, he kind of lost a step. Like, he didn't look as fast as he has in past years. Well, that dude only runs fast. He's not a polished route runner. He's not a contested catch guy. He's a drop problem guy, actually. He's not someone that really does anything else for you. So if he can't run down the field deep and beat you over the top, I don't have a role for that guy.
You know, I think we missed the boat on the Quintez Cephas era. Just didn't last long enough.
I completely forgot
April
about Quintez
29th
Cephas.
To May 16th. What an era.
Yeah. Michael Thomas. They're going to sign Michael Thomas, and he's going to line up on snap number one and run a slant because that's all he can do. 803-0550 is the phone number if you've got a thought. We'll have Aaron Schatz coming up at 9 a.m. on the Almanac, the FTN Fantasy Almanac that is out, and their expectations for the Bills this year. I haven't looked yet, but I want to guess before Aaron comes on at 9 that they're going to have the Bills higher than maybe even we're treating them. We'll see. Jody Biasi, Nate Geary, Jeremy's back tomorrow. We'll be at training camp, 6 a.m. from St. John Fisher. I should check the weather also for St. John Fisher. Hope we're not getting poured on as we walk in there. Stay tuned. Jody Biasi, Nate Geary, this is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
How close were you to playing last year?
If we'd been in the hunt, I was going to try and play.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It healed that quick? What'd you do
In 2014, I played in a small circle and I ripped my calf up a couple times. And it would have been like that. It would have been shotgun and pistol and, no like keepers, no hard action stuff. It would just would have been kind of playing in a small circle.
Can we believe anything this dude ever says?
Dan Graziano was so right.
Anything. He was limping at OTAs.
He said
months after
they had a quote on First Take this morning or whatever is on, and it said that a quote from Rodgers yesterday was that he had planned to play 2 years with the Jets, retire as a Jet, and win 2 Super Bowls. So does that mean he's got 2 more years that he plans on playing?
That's a good question. We yesterday did an exercise, like, who will still be their team's quarterback 1 year from today?
Yeah.
And what did you say? What did we say about Rodgers?
I said no.
You don't think he will be?
I don't think he will.
Well, how does that go then? How does that have to go? Doesn't he have to be terrible for it to end after this year? Wouldn't you think? I don't know how he will be if he's terrible. That's another thing. He's not like, personality-wise, he's not like Brady. He's not like, well, in some ways he is, I guess, but not always. He's not like Peyton Manning. He's not like Breeze. He's loud. He's talking every day somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
The dude can't not be on a podcast 5 days a week. He's got to be in the headlines. He's got to be making news. He's got to be talking. So how will someone like that handle being bad? Because I'm not saying it necessarily has to be that way. I'm predicting it will. I'm predicting he will not be good this year. 26th in the NFL in QBR the last time we saw him. Lower than Matt Ryan. He was pedestrian. He was a game manager for the Packers his last year there. That was 2 years ago. Now he's 41 with an Achilles injury. And unless your name is Tom Brady, every quarterback ages this way. We're 41, you're toast. So if he is toast, I really do wonder how he'll handle that. I think that what will happen is, you know what's going to happen? He's going to deflect. He's going to blame others.
Yeah.
He's going to blame Nathaniel Hackett. He's going to blame Saleh. He's going to blame the Jets.
He's going to blame the media for distracting the team.
They're definitely going to do that.
Yeah.
He's going to want people fired. And I bet they will fire people. If he's terrible and their record isn't what it's supposed to be, then do you know who the betting favorite to be the first coach fired is?
It's Saleh.
Saleh.
So what if this is the scenario? And this might be the most realistic scenario, which is he's fine. He's a game manager. He ends up 19th in QBR and has 28 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, 7 interceptions, but they go 9-8.
Okay.
And they miss the playoffs. Saleh gets fired.
Yep.
Joe Douglas gets fired.
Yep.
And
at least I would think so.
Then they start over, and are they going to keep is the new regime keeping Rodgers? Is the owner requiring the new regime to keep Rodgers? I bet you that might be a legitimate thing.
The bringing the owner into it, I think, is the right thing to do here for this
because he's probably going to try to find someone, a coach, that is willing to have Rodgers at least one more year while drafting maybe their backup player.
It depends. I wonder how tired the owner could get of it, because this is going to be a second year where you've basically turned over your whole organization to that guy, to that quarterback.
Yeah.
You're doing it because you believe he is going to be the star quarterback you've never had. And if he isn't performing, sure, the coach might get fired, the GM might get fired, but are you going to allow Rodgers to take over your organization for a third season? Because he might not have been on the field last year, but you better believe his influence was still very powerful there.
That's right.
I mean, I remember talking about this as it was going on. I don't know that we ever got clarity on it, but don't we believe the reason they never addressed quarterback during last year was because Rodgers was holding it over their heads that he was going to come back at some point?
Yes.
Like, do you remember, wasn't that a part of the Kirk Cousins conversation?
I mean, he's still talking about it now. So.
They're not going to go trade for Kirk Cousins, because if they trade for Kirk Cousins and then Rodgers comes back, then what do you do? Like, Rodgers has to sign off on it, I remember, was a thought. That you would need him to approve any idea.
It's crazy.
At that position. And they kind of threw a season away, I think, because they were scared of their quarterback.
They didn't want to upset him.
And, man, how do you keep going that way? I mean, I would, if they're bad and they want to keep doing it, by all means, go ahead. The longer the Jets want to go with Aaron Rodgers and the longer the Dolphins want to go with Tua, I think it's better for the Bills. Is that crazy?
No, I think that's right.
They're good quarterbacks. At least the last time we saw them, they were pretty good. Again, Rodgers, I don't even know if I want to give him that. But Tua was. And I feel like all this talk of windows and like how much is the Bills' window open? The Dolphins have a quarterback that was only useful to them, in my opinion, when he was on a rookie contract. And that's about to end. So go ahead. You want to keep going with that? Your window's closed, I think, the moment you give him $55 million a year. And for Rodgers, I mean, you're going to be starting over. If it's not a year from now, it's 2 years from now. What's your window? What's the Bengals window, by the way?
Bengals window is probably this year.
So Mike Brown, the owner of the Bengals, came out yesterday. I saw a couple of Bengals reporters saying this, that, hey, when Mike Brown speaks, it's worth paying attention because he does not speak often. And what did he come out of the woodwork to speak about? Basically to announce to everybody that they're not going to pay Ja'Marr Chase this summer. That he doesn't see a deal happening right now, and that's something they'd rather do in an offseason, and the offseason's already over, so next offseason. So, okay, Ja'Marr Chase. And then the GM made some weird comments too, right? Didn't he? Duke Tobin?
Yeah, let me...
I don't remember what it was. He took a shot at T. Higgins or something by talking
about Chase. It did feel like, in an inadvertent way, he took a shot at T. Higgins. Let me pull the actual quote because I have it here. Okay. Duke Tobin on Ja'Marr Chase's value to Cincinnati. Ja'Marr Chase is a rare football player. If it was just wide receiver, I wouldn't spend a nickel on it, but it's Ja'Marr Chase.
All right.
If it was just a wide receiver, I wouldn't spend a nickel on it, but he's a rare football player.
I think we should still believe that that is the cheapest organization in the yes. NFL. And one thing you can't say about the Bills is that the Pegulas and Bean and whoever's making the decisions on who to give money, where there's other financial guys in their front office. Go look at cash spent. The Bills are near the top of the list almost every year in terms of total cash spent. I don't know actually where they rank this year on that. I know last year it was them in Kansas City at the top, like $300 million or more. It was above the cap because real money can be different than that. I got the Bengals over here. Already having this preconceived notion that they don't pay guys. I've got Carson Palmer, who before Joe Burrow, actually Boomer Esiason probably, I was going to say Palmer's their best quarterback of all time, their best player of all time. He's one of them.
Who's that?
Carson Palmer.
Yeah. Well,
maybe he's one of them. Whatever. One of your few good quarterbacks you've ever had. He's out here in the media every day. Saying, oh, they're not going to pay Joe Burrow. They're not going to want to pay their talented guys. They don't want to pay anybody. Because that's the experience that he went through, right? And they did pay Burrow. They got there. You had to do that. I mean, you are a Joe. You don't deserve to be in the NFL if you don't pay a Joe Burrow when you have it. But now that Burrow's paid, I got Trey Hendrickson that wanted a new contract, and he hasn't gotten it. I've got T. Higgins that wants a new contract. He hasn't gotten it. Chase, I'm sure, I mean, he's watching Justin Jefferson.
And he's going to say, I want more than that.
And he's going into year four.
So waiting on the Chase contract is bad for them.
Yeah. Like,
It's bad like the Dolphins waiting on Tua.
So I do think they'll pay him. But it's just another sign that the Bengals don't operate like normal NFL teams do.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to lose T. Higgins. The thing that's made the Bengals great.
Demanded a trade. And then, walked it back?
He walked it back, but they didn't give him a new contract.
No.
At least I don't think they did.
And there was an offseason. They could have negotiated a contract in the offseason.
Yeah.
And there was... It's July. They've had 4 months to negotiate a contract with Ja'Marr Chase and haven't done it.
Like, I don't know how well the Bengals are going to hold up long-term here. Like, the Bills, I don't know that they'll ever get back to the great list of players they've had around Josh Allen before, but I want to believe that they're at least going to take... They're going to try for it. You know, I don't have any second thought about, hey, would they want to give the money to a star receiver? If the answer was no, I would think it's more about the cap structure than it is the dollars. Versus, it's funny how different that is from the Sabres, by the way. But anyways, for the Bengals, like, I've got this other thing, cloud over, hanging over their head of, are they going to keep it together or not keep it together because they just don't want to spend money? The thing that's made them great for the last 3 years is best wide receiver core in football.
Yep.
And Tyler Boyd's already gone.
Mm-hmm.
They've replaced him with a third-round pick in Jermaine Burton, who I actually like.
I like him too.
I don't know if he'll keep his head on straight, though. That's the thing about him, I guess. But the talent's there. And we'll see. But you got a rookie. You've got Chase. Higgins is about to walk out the door, too.
Yep.
They're playing games with Chase. Like, I don't... The thing that's made them great is the quarterback and receiver combo, and all of that's about to get torn to shreds,
and,
it looks like,
in
Cincinnati.
Also, their defense.
Has what? Kept them... Well, they'll lose Lou Anarumo. Lou Anarumo.
Eventually.
One. Eventually.
Well, I thought they were going to lose him this year, but they
didn't. Yep. Interesting. On the Bengals. 803-0550 is the phone number. Aaron Schatz is coming up at 9 o'clock. Stay tuned. Jody Biasi, Nate Geary. This is WGR. All right, two news items to get to before we get to Aaron Schatz. Jody Biasi, Nate Geary. Ari Marov. Actually, before that one, Emmanuel Ogba is holding out officially from Jets camp.
Hassan Reddick,
thank you.
Yeah, Ogba signed with
Yes, thank Miami. You. Hassan Reddick, who the Jets traded a third-round pick for to get from the Eagles this offseason, who, by the way, is just hanging out in Japan while this is going on. He's going to take $40,000 a day in fines because he wants a new contract from the Jets. How do you not know that he's going to hold out the moment you trade for him? Or that you're going to have to pay him a giant contract?
And that by you trading your best young pass rusher gives him all the leverage to do exactly that.
Yep. The other news, Ari Marov tweeted this out. It's from Mark Mask of the Washington Post, actually. The NFL and NFLPA have started high-level discussions about implementing an 18-game regular season. NFLPA Director Lloyd Howell left the door open that an agreement could be reached before the current CBA expires. 18-game regular season. So, my idea, I don't know how this would work. I do not have a job that has normal days off.
Mm-hmm.
But do people have off for President's Day?
I don't know if it's a bank holiday or not.
Okay, because my idea was let's push the Super Bowl back to February 16th or the third Sunday of every February and line it up with if everyone's off President's Day, again, I don't know if people are, then you have Monday off. What's the biggest complaint about the Super Bowl? It's that people don't have the day off the next day. So let me line it up with that. In terms of the, or I guess, no, Martin Luther King Day is on the January 20th. You'll be done by then, or you won't be done by then. I have no problem with the 18-game regular season. I don't ever get why people complain about the extra games. Like, sure, you gotta change your way of talking about the record, right? Like,
yeah,
you have to reset your brain on that front.
And historical stats.
Sure, but the only reason they would give you another game is because they know you want it. They're doing it because people are going to watch it.
Oh, of course.
And then they're going to sell ads for it because they're selling ads based on people are going to want the game. Because if people didn't want the game, they just wouldn't watch it.
I want an extra game in September.
Would they do another NFC crossover game?
How do you mean?
Like, you know, when they made it a 17-game schedule, so there's one NFC
crossover. Oh, in terms of what the extra game, I don't know what they would do on that front.
Well, there's three, you play three first round, yeah. First place teams, or whatever place you finish, that would assume it would just be a fourth.
Right. Yep. But in terms of, like, an extra game, I don't mind it. It's an extra day of fantasy. It's an extra day of red zone.
Yeah.
Just, sure.
All the above.
Add in a second bye week, spread it out a little bit more, and, you know, I would not probably go further than 18, because there is, you know, it's not just, hey, will people watch it? That must mean they want it. There gets to a point where things do get oversaturated. But, again, when it's time and you're oversaturated, people will turn it off. The outdoor games in hockey are a good example of this. The Winter Classic was a yearly thing, and then they started doing the Stadium Series, and there was like 7 outdoor hockey games a year, and suddenly it was completely oversaturated. So what do people do? They stop watching. That has not happened in football. The day that the ratings start dropping, or hey, this Thursday night game, people really weren't turning it on. Okay, I guess we have too much football now. That has not happened.
No one's ever said that.
No, it has not happened yet.
Said no one ever.
And I don't mind resetting my mind to like, hey, is 12-6 a good record? Is 10-8 a good record? Is 9-9 a good record? the stat, you know, changes, right? Because you'll have records being broken. I know it's not the easiest, but I'll trade all of that for an extra day of fantasy and an extra day of red zone every year. 803-0550 is the phone number. Thank you to Faith who just tweeted in. President's Day is a federal holiday. There you go.
There you go.
Back up the Super Bowl, push everything back, add the extra, you add 2 weeks. You get your extra bye week and your extra week of football. Boom. Super Bowl on the Sunday before President's Day. Everybody has off on Monday. Perfect.
Hate it.
Why hate it?
I don't want another cold game. I want another nice warm weather game.
Nah, I would rather have the
September
day off
games
after
in foot-
the Super Bowl.
September home games in Buffalo are the best games. That's what I want another one of.
All right, we'll put a poll up. Would you rather have an extra August game or
a January
late
game,
game and push the Super Bowl back to August?
It's going
to
be a landslide September game.
I don't think it'll be a landslide.
I'm saying at least 75%.
Are we going to bet on what the poll is going to come in at? Aaron Schatz when we come back. Jody Biasi, Nate Geary. This is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, two news items to get to before we get to Aaron Schatz. Jody Biasi, Nate Geary. Ari Marov. Actually, before that one. Emmanuel Ogba is holding out officially from Jets camp.
Hassan Reddick.
Thank you.
Yeah, Ogba signed with
Yes, thank
Miami.
You. Hassan Reddick, who the Jets traded a third-round pick for to get from the Eagles this offseason, who, by the way, is just hanging out in Japan while this is going
on.
He's going to take $40,000 a day in fines because he wants a new contract from the Jets. How do you not know that he's going to hold out the moment you trade for him? Or that you're going to have to pay him a giant contract?
And that by you trading your best young pass rusher gives him all the leverage to do exactly that.
Yep. The other news, Ari Marov tweeted this out. It's from Mark Mask of the Washington Post, actually. The NFL and NFLPA have started high-level discussions about implementing an 18-game regular season. NFLPA Director Lloyd Howell left the door open that an agreement could be reached before the current CBA expires. 18-game regular season. So, my idea, I don't know how this would work. I do not have a job that has normal days off.
Mm-hmm.
But do people have off for President's Day?
I don't know if it's a bank holiday or not.
Okay, because my idea was let's push the Super Bowl back to February 16th or the third Sunday of every February and line it up with a if everyone's off President's Day, again, I don't know if people are, then you have Monday off. What's the biggest complaint about the Super Bowl? It's that people don't have the day off the next day. So let me line it up with that. In terms of the, or I guess, no, Martin Luther King Day is on the January 20th. You'll be done by then, or you won't be done by then. I have no problem with the 18-game regular season. I don't ever get why people complain about the extra games. Like, sure, you gotta change your way of talking about the record, right? Like,
yeah,
you have to reset your brain on that front.
And historical stats.
Sure, but listen, the only reason they would give you another game is because they know you want it. They're doing it because people are going to watch it.
Oh, of course.
And then they're going to sell ads for it because they're selling ads based on people are going to want the game. Because if people didn't want the game, they just wouldn't watch it.
I want an extra game in September.
Would they do another NFC crossover game?
How do you mean?
Like you know, when they made it a 17-game schedule, so there's one NFC.
Oh, in terms of what the extra game, I don't know what they would do on that front.
Well, there's three. You play three first round, yeah. First place teams, or whatever place you finish. That would assume it'd just be a fourth,
right? Yep. But in terms of like an extra game, I don't mind it. It's an extra day of fantasy. It's an extra day of red zone.
Yeah.
Just sure.
All the above.
Add in a second bye week. Spread it out a little bit more. And, you know, I would not probably go further than 18 because there is, you know, it's not just, hey, will people watch it? That must mean they want it. There gets to a point where things do get oversaturated. But again, when it's time and you're oversaturated, people will turn it off. The outdoor games in hockey are a good example of this. The Winter Classic was a yearly thing, and then they started doing the Stadium Series, and there was like 7 outdoor hockey games a year, and suddenly it was completely oversaturated. So what do? They stop watching. That has not happened in football. The day that the ratings start dropping, or hey, this Thursday night game, people really weren't turning it on. Okay, I guess we have too much football now. That has not happened.
No one's ever said that.
No, it has not happened yet.
Said no one ever.
And I don't mind resetting my mind to like, hey, is 12-6 a good record? Is 10-8 a good record? Is 9-9 a good record? The stat, you know, changes, right? Because you'll have records being broken. I know it's not the easiest, but I'll trade all of that for an extra day of fantasy and an extra day of red zone every year. 803-0550 is the phone number. Thank you to Faith who just tweeted in. President's Day is a federal holiday. There you go.
There you go.
Back up the Super Bowl. Push everything back. Add the extra. You add 2 weeks. You get your extra bye week and your extra week of football. Boom. Super Bowl on the Sunday before President's Day. Everybody has off on Monday. Perfect.
Hate it.
Why hate it?
I don't want another cold game. I want another nice warm weather game.
No, nah, I need. I would rather have the
September
day off
games
after
in foot-
the Super Bowl.
September home games in Buffalo are the best games. That's what I want another one of.
All right, we'll put a poll up. Would you rather have an extra August game or
a January
late
game.
Game and push the Super Bowl back to August?
It's going to be a landslide September game.
I don't think it'll be a landslide.
I'm saying at least 75%.
Are we going to bet on what the poll is going to come in at? Aaron Schatz, when we come back. Jody Biasi, Nate Geary. This is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.